I pray that you give us a gentle heart, a heart that we can hear your word and accept it and receive it and hide it within our heart, lest we sin against you. And I pray that you speak to us in a special way today, so that we know you meant what you say, and so we take it seriously and understand the true meaning of what you have said through your servant Paul. And I pray that the Spirit of truth lead us into all truth, help us to recall what our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us in the four gospel, and enable us to not just be a hearer of your word, enable us to be able to understand what you have to say to each and every one of us, and guide us every days of our life, and help us not only understand, help us to put what we learn into practice in our own church and in our own family. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to draw on the Ephesians chapter 4, 15, 25, the importance of speaking the truth in love. And 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And I want you to write it down. Speaking the truth in love within the church family is very, very important. Putting off falsehood and speaking truthfully to each other is very, very important. Lately, you heard from the family radio, Harold Camping. Harold Camping is only telling the half truth. What's the half truth he's telling us? The second coming of Jesus Christ. The other truth that he lied, he said he knows the day. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the truth. We know that he will come back, right? Gabriel, you know that he will come back, right? So, second coming of Jesus Christ is the truth. No question about that. But he said he knows the day. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I miscalculate. And now he tell another lie. He say, not May 21st, it's October 21st of this year. He lie upon lie. So we need to tell the truth within the church, okay? I want you to make sure. Tell the truth within the church. Matthew 24:36. The Bible clearly stated that, clearly, Jesus said, no one knows, not even the Son knows, not even the angels in heaven knows. Only one person knows, that's our Heavenly Father. He said he knows the day and the hour. So that means he lied, right? So what did I just say, Gabriel? Harold Camping, is he totally lying? Speak louder. I got a recording here. He said he knows the day, he knows the hour, right? Yeah. And the Bible says no one knows the day, no one knows the hour. Okay? So he's not telling the whole truth. He's telling only part truth. But the Bible clearly stated that in here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, and we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And 25, Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So what happened if he lied about the day and the hour? And what happened? What's the end result? You know, the comedian, you know, like, what is his name? Letterman? It was another guy. Jay Leno? You know, all these people, they mock at Christianity. They think that we are all foolish. We are not foolish. Just like what the Bible says. In verse 14, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the weight and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men. Like Harold Camping, David Koresh. In their deceitful scheming, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Make sure when we hear the word of God, make sure in chapter 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle in a way, whatever the word of God we hear. We're not being proud when he say no one knows the day and the hour. You just be completely humble. You just say you don't know the hour or the day. And be gentle. What does it mean by be gentle? Whatever the word of God that you have received, you allow the word of God sink into your heart. I want to go back in verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Verse 18, hardening of their heart is the opposite of be completely humble and gentle. If you have a hardened heart, whatever God say, you won't believe, you won't receive, you won't accept, you will resist. If you harden your heart and ignore God's word, you will fall into sins. In verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, that means your heart is hardened. You won't sense anything whatsoever. When you hear the word of God, you don't even know it is the word of God. You would keep on doing your own thing. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. So, I want you to write it down. Due to the hardening of their heart, 4:18, you write down 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. You have to have a humble heart and gentle heart in order to receive the word of God. If you have a hardened heart, you will oppose God's word. and you will do something that against God's word. And what's the end result of hardening your heart? The end result of hardening your heart, you follow the very footstep of King Pharaoh. Who is King Pharaoh? Josh? Who is King Pharaoh? King of Egypt. So what's his end result? After 10 plagues. Okay. Did he let Moses go? And his people go?
No.
He let them go. And then in this 11th plague, he died. Because he hardened his heart. Remember that. If someone hardened his heart, God let you get away with it in the first plague, second, third, 10, and then 11, you're finished. Right? Do not harden your heart. So, what am I going to teach you today? I'm going to teach you a lesson. Speaking the truth. What does it mean by speaking the truth? In love. And what's the importance of it? Harold Camping is speaking the half truth about the second coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the truth. We all know that Jesus Christ will come back second time. But he said he knows the day, he knows the hour, that is a liar. So he's not telling the truth in love. He's telling partial truth with hardening of his heart. And he keep on doing it. 1994 he did it. 2011 he did it. And now he do it again. So when someone hardens his heart, it's very dangerous. So what's the best way? What's the gospel? What's the good news? The good news is speaking the truth in love. Put off falsehood. And speaking truthfully to your neighbor. And what does it really mean in Jesus' word? I want you to write down, right beside that, write down John 13. 13:8. Wash. Washing your feet. You write that down. So, would you please turn to Gospel of John, chapter 13. Etta, could you read that? Starting from verse 1 all the way. Verse 1 all the way to 17. So I want you to listen carefully, okay? Speaking the truth in love. What if we are brother and sister? We are member of the same body. If I interact with you, if I don't tell you the truth, I only tell you the half truth, what will be the end result? Okay? After you read the Bible, and I'm telling you, speaking the truth in love means washing your feet. Washing each other's feet in love. Okay? Go. 13:1, Gospel of John.
It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
What did I just say? Speaking the truth in love means... Emily? Each other feet in love. Take a look in 13, verse 1 and 2. It was just about the Passover feast. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time has come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus washing the feet of his disciple in love. Circle the word love. Jesus now showed the disciple the full extent of his love, washing their feet in love. Can anyone tell me if Peter insists on not letting Jesus to wash his feet, what will be the result? Gabriel? Verse 8, could you read that? You read that, verse 8. Let's say if you have done something wrong and some of your friend, Christian friend telling you what you have done is wrong, what will be your response? Is I'm glad you tell me, or I don't need you to tell me. Oh, come on, just be honest. Hey, Josh, have you ever tell your brother that he did something wrong? And he say, Josh, I'm glad you tell me that. Oh, yeah? What? Oh, yeah? What?
No, that wasn't washing his feet. He was just trying to drag me down as well.
What do you mean? Oh, God. Not Joshua. I mean, Gabriel. Give me a break. When your father tell you something,
I
know you listen. You have no choice but listen. You know, you live under his shelter. Of course you have to listen. But I'm saying is, within your heart, are you going to say, Daddy, I'm glad you tell me that? No. Or deep in your heart, how do you feel?
Hardened heart?
Your hardened heart? Do you have a hardened heart?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Right? I believe your response is just like what Peter's response. You shall never wash my feet. Don't ever tell me what to do. Who make you to be my leader? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I haven't said
that. You know, when he asks you, when he tells you to go to a yellow bird, is he telling you to take drugs? You say he's dragging you down, or is he taking you up to heaven?
Taking me up to heaven.
And how come you feel upset?
Just because of the fact that he brought it up, like knowing, like he said in front of my dad, so my dad would make me go. It wasn't like.
Oh, you give all kind of excuse. That guy, you are descendant of Adam. Right? I want you to read it one more time, 13:8.
It's bad when your excuses suck.
Yeah, that's right. It keep one parting and just like hell camping, you know.
If you have a good excuse, fine.
Yeah, that excuse doesn't go, doesn't fly, you know. It didn't fly. It keeps sinking down, okay, in a sinking sand, okay. I want you to read the Bible instead of things come from your mouth, okay. Give me verse 8, okay. Unless I wash you, and you have no part with me. You have no part with me. You saying that he will not get a blessing?
He wouldn't go to heaven?
He can't even go to heaven, man. Do you understand the seriousness of it? Can you imagine if I go to a church and people not telling me the truth in love? He's not washing my feet. I know I did something wrong, and you're not telling me. He wants me to go to hell. And Jesus said, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, you have no part in me. That means where I am, you cannot be where I am. You go to hell. You think Peter don't understand that? You read verse 9. What did he say? I think he'd understood that. What did he say?
Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.
Because he wanted to go to heaven. Now, do you agree my interpretation saying that you have no part with me, Jesus said? No part with me, that means I go to heaven and you go to hell. That's what he really mean. Do you agree with that? So I believe Peter understood that. That's why he said, because Peter said, wow, if that's so serious, hey, you may as well not just wash my feet. I know my hand is dirty too. My head is too, right? Do the whole thing, the whole package. You understand? Now, I want you to write it down, okay? In the Bible, chapter 13, washing each other's feet is not just physically using water to wash your feet. If that is what he really mean, you know what? Every month we're supposed to have what? Now we have communion, but if washing each other's feet is so, like if the meaning of it, if the spiritual meaning is just physically washing each other's feet, every month we're supposed to have what? A basin and water and wash other feet, right? Have you ever seen any pastor washing your feet? Spiritually, every week, right? Because he's telling you the truth in love. So that whatever you have done, whatever you are thinking, you think the other way, he takes the impurity, filthiness away from you, iniquity out of you, right? If you refuse to be washed by the other party, Jesus said, you have no part with me. That is very serious. And when Jesus meant washing each other's feet in love, he means spiritually speaking the truth in love. Can you imagine if a pastor preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ and named the day in 1994, and then named the day 2011, May 21st, and now October 21st. That guy has lost all his credibility already. Because people do not know whether this statement he say is true or not. And he keeps saying it. And still a lot of crazy people, they are infant, they toss back and forth, and they don't even know the truth. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then up to that point, he said, well, if the pastor doesn't know, I won't know. So I don't need to go to the church. I don't need to read the Bible. I end up going to hell. You do not believe in this kind of person. You believe in the Bible. Bible, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said, no one know, not even the Son know, not even the angel, only the Father, Heavenly Father know. And he said he knows. So he's lying to you. Speaking the truth in love means washing each other's feet in love. And Gabriel, let me tell you one thing. Whether your brother tell you to go to Yellow Board to help serving, whether he tell you in front of your mother or in front of your father, it doesn't really matter. If it is the right thing to do, even though he tell you privately, you still do it. Don't ever say to me, oh, because he tell in front of my father, then he give me pleasure. And, from outside, I can't go, you know. That would be bad. You going not because of your father. You going because it's good to serve God. Do you hear what I say? Has your feet been washed by Pastor John? What have you learned today? What else have you learned? I know, because since you said that, I believe that Joshua, I know him, he will keep on doing it in front of his daddy and mommy. And because that's your weak point, he's going to test you up to the point you be patient and bearing with Joshua in love, and then keep the bond of peace, and you be completely humble and gentle. Oh, man, then you'll be good. I know he would do that again. You know that too. So how are you going to respond to him? Thank you for watching. What after you say that, then you're not going?
I should go.
Okay. But the other thing you haven't learned. He washed your feet. Now you are clean. If he didn't feel like going, you tell your brother, let's go to Yellowbird. You wash his feet. You got that? What did the Bible say? Washing each other's feet. If you know that and you do it, you'll be blessed. I want you to read it. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 17. Now you know this thing. What thing? Washing each other's feet. Okay? Verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If Jesus Christ washed our feet, that he set the example for each and every one of us to follow. That means he expects people going to the church supposed to wash one another's feet. In other words, God expects brother and sister to tell the truth in what? In love. Don't use cold water to wash his feet, you know, so cold, ice cold. Then he retreated, right? Don't use boiling water either, right? Warm water. Make him feel comfortable, right? You got that? Okay, that is completely humble and gentle in heart. That you don't harden your heart, you know what? You will have part with Jesus. Now, the reason why I'm saying is not washing one other feet is not meaning physically washing the feet. Now, in verse 12, when he has finished washing their feet, Does it including the feet of Judah? Joshua? Does it including the feet of Judah? Josh? Yes. How do you know it's yes? What's the proof? You keep going reading it. The answer is in 18 all the way to 30.
I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. This is still the scripture. You can share it by bread that's lifted up this wheel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one I send.
All the way to 30. Now the question is, when Jesus has finished washing their feet, does it including Judah's feet? Yes or no? Yes? What's the proof? So it's not so much physical washing the feet. If just physically washing the feet with water and not having a part with Jesus, then Judas is supposed to go to heaven because Judas' feet were washed by who? By Jesus, right? He's supposed to go to heaven. So washing one another's feet has a spiritual meaning. It's not just washing one another's feet with water. Is telling you the truth. You are the one who betrayed me. You better repent. Turn around. And that's the final chance. Did he repent? Did he know he's the one who betrayed Jesus? It's only 12 people. 13 people there in the dining table, right? When Peter signaled John to ask Jesus, who's the one betraying? Jesus said, when I dip the bread and give the bread to whoever he is, that's the one. And he gave it to Judah. Did Judah say, okay, no, come on, I don't want to take it, right? I repent. I'm not going to betray you now. Lord, would you please forgive me? When someone telling you the truth that you are the one who go to hell and you not repent and harden your heart. And what happened? Satan what? Satan entered into his heart. When Satan entered into your heart, is finale, final, finish. You cannot be saved. It's scary, right? It's scary, right? Do not harden your heart, man. When someone tells you it is you who sins against God, it is you who has no part with me, they say, wow, you're scared. Just like Peter, you're scared. Hey, you have no part with me. Hey, my hand, my feet, everything, the whole body, you know, you might as well do the whole package, you know? Hey, is Peter go to heaven? We know that he go to heaven, right? Peter hasn't lost all his sensitivity. At first he didn't understand. All of a sudden when Jesus told him, he understood. My hand, my feet, my head, everything, right? never lost all sensitivities. Judah has lost all sensitivity. And he keep on pursuing to love money. That's exactly why, that's exactly what the Ephesians chapter 4, what did the Bible say? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and with a continual lust for more. So I put that into in the context of Judah. Having lost all his sensitivity, Judah has given himself over to the lust of more money. He given himself over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of love of money, impurity, and with a continual lust for more. He say, I make up my mind already. I want to make 3 to 4 months of wages by betraying you. You cannot change his mind. Did Jesus telling him the truth in love? Did he tell the truth? Or he say, I want to trap him. I want to trap him. I don't tell him. Did Jesus tell Judah? Did he know? Did he know? But he keep on doing it, right? So when your brother tell you to go, not to a bar, but to Yellow Bird, to serve God, what would you say, Gabriel?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Now I go back. And I'm glad, okay, the chapter 13 of Gospel of John, is this the Last Supper? Is this the Last Supper of Jesus Christ? Hannah?
Yes.
So Last Supper of Jesus Christ, that means on the Last Supper, Jesus has established the Holy Communion, right? So what do we learn in 1 Corinthians regarding the Holy Communion? Before we take the body of Jesus Christ, his flesh, before we drink his blood, right, in his cup, what do? Ask, we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness, right? But when Jesus gave him the bread, that is his body, did he confess? He just ate it. He ate his own sins. I want you to write it down, okay? I want you to write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 27, all the way to 32. I want you to write it down right beside Gospel of John, chapter 13. Verse 27. As soon as Judah took the bread, he took the bread. And he didn't confess his sins. He ate it. He didn't ask for forgiveness. What happened in verse 27? Satan entered into him. Oh, man. When Satan entered into him, that's too late. 13:27. As soon as Judah took the bread, that is a holy communion. He's supposed to confess his sins and renounce his sins and ask Jesus for forgiveness. I'm the one who betrayed you. I want to make 3 to 4 months of wages by following you for 3 years. And I found out you're going to the cross. I don't want to follow you to the cross. I want to betray you. He should confess his sins, that he lusts of money, lusts for more. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 all the way to 32. Therefore, whoever eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body. The body is Jesus Christ and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Did Judah do it? He didn't. Verse 29, For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Did he eat judgment on himself? Satan entered into his heart. That is why many among you are weak in the church of Corinth. And when they are weak, they don't even know God punishes him. And he becomes sick and sick. When he's sick, then he don't even know God punishes him. And a number of you have fallen asleep. They die. Verse 31, but if we judge ourselves, if we confess our sin, examine ourselves, and ask God to forgive us, we will not come under judgment. 32, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Make sure, before you take the Holy Communion, what should you do? Enter? Renounce our sins, ask for forgiveness, right? And that's just like what Peter doing. Cleanse me, wash me. You know, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive all my sins. Don't just take it lightly. Just take it like the Judah, right? What happened? He eat judgment on himself, right? He's guilty of that. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eat and drink without recognizing the body of the Lord eat and drink judgment on himself. That's exactly what Judah has done. Do me a favor. I want you to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 to 32. You write down Gospel of John 13, verse 27. As soon as Judah took the bread without confessing his sins and just ate it, Satan entered into him. You know what? Now I go back to ask the question. I want to make sure you guys understand what I've said today. He's talking about life and death, today's sermon. Did Jesus wash the feet of Judah physically? Physically. Hannah? Chapter 13. You mean he only washed 11 disciples? He is so selfish? Or did he wash 12 of them?
Oh, no, he did.
He washed all of them. He didn't single him out. If he singled him out, then I would say, wow, how come you don't love me, right? Hey, you know what? When Jesus judged Judah in the judgment seat of Christ, he has no excuse. You understand? Right? So did Jesus Christ tell him the truth that it is you who betray me? Did Jesus Christ tell him the truth in love? Yes or no? But did Judah confess and renounce his sin? And in the Holy Communion, he has one more chance. If he confesses, will he be forgiven? He will be forgiven, right? Remember in Matthew chapter 26, when he feels guilty, of his conscience that he betrayed a righteous man? Did God give him another third chance to go and find Jesus and ask Jesus for forgiveness? If he's run to the cross and Jesus, look up to Jesus, would you please forgive me? I'm the one who betrayed you. Could you forgive me right now? Will Jesus forgive him? But did he ask for forgiveness? He hardened his heart. He's your brother, right? He's not your enemy. Don't harden your heart, man. Do you learn anything? You know what? One of these days, when he tells you something, you don't harden your heart also. Do you learn anything? Good boy. Okay? I want to stop here. So washing one another's feet means speaking the truth in love. We need that in the church. But do you know what? When you speak the truth in love, superficially, immediately, what kind of result do you get? You really feel glad or you feel upset? You say, you try to trap me in front of my daddy? You want to make me look bad or what? You understand what I'm trying to say? Harden. Don't harden your heart, man. Be completely humble and gentle. You got that? Live a life worthy of the calling. Be completely humble and gentle. That's what it really means. That guy, you got to watch out. You know, he tried to trap you. But you be completely humble and gentle. Next time, I'm going to use him as an example, okay? So, any other question? Do you agree with what I say? Washing one another feet doesn't mean just physically. If it's physically so important, Judas is supposed to go to heaven because Jesus did wash his feet. You understand? Physically, but not spiritually. He refused to confess his sin, recognize that he's the one who betrayed Jesus, right? And during the communion, he didn't confess either. That means he ignored the biblical teaching. I don't need to confess. I go to an earthly priest. You know what did the earthly priest say in Matthew chapter 26? It got nothing to do with me. The sin is on you. Wow, you know. If you go to Jesus, Jesus won't say that to you. If you ask for forgiveness, yes, I will forgive you. Do you remember the robber one on the one on both sides? You remember that? One repent, right? Ask for forgiveness, what happened? Was he forgiven? Tonight, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That means when you confess your sins, I wash your feet already, spiritually. I cleanse you. I want you to read that. Gospel of John 15, verse 3. You hear my word, you obey, you listen to it, you are cleansed. Your feet has been washed. 15:3. Gabriel? When you hear the word of God, you obey, you're cleansed. You got that? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our heart and our mind. Help us not to harden our heart. Because from time to time, we love to harden our heart. And we don't know the consequences of it. If we know it, we won't do it. And I pray that you have mercy on each and every one of us. And we have fallen just like Adam, and we love to do our own things. And if we keep on doing it, harden our heart, without a completely humble heart and gentle heart, we end up going to hell. Lord, we don't want to go to hell. The reason why you come down from heaven is to seek and to save sinners like us. Lord, I pray that you continue to remind us what you have said to us, cleanse us with your word, because your word has the cleansing power. Every time when we hear your word, and help us to be completely humble and gentle, and we receive it, and repent, and turn around, and follow you. And so that all our sins will be forgiven. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.